Hebrews and the 10th chapter. I have a little sign hanging in my office that says, "Lord, if you can't make me skinny, just please make all my friends fat." And He's answered that prayer to a good measure right there. Amen. Amen. Are you in the 10th chapter of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 10. Lord, we love You tonight. Father, thank You. Lord God, thank You for Lord the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank You for a people and a place that's willing to seek the Lord. And I pray, God, that You'd be found of us. Lord, touch the text. Breathe on Thy people. Lord, we love You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I feel led to come to the book of Hebrews and splash around in the good gospel graces. I'm grateful for the book of Hebrews. And don't let anybody tell you that that's for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. There are some things that Paul wrote that were hard to be understood, Simon Peter said at the end of 2 Peter. They that are unlearned and unstable do wrest, W-R-E-S-T, the twist it by wrestling. Do you know anybody that twists the Word of God because they're wrestling against it? And if you wouldn't wrestle against it, you wouldn't get it twisted. God never asked us to understand anything in the Bible. He asked us just to believe it. A bunch of y'all trying to understand salvation, you're just supposed to trust it. A bunch of you trying to understand the Holy Spirit. Are you kidding me? He never meant for you to understand the Holy Spirit. He meant for you to obey the Holy Spirit. My generation, they want to Google everything and know everything in 3 minutes. And this book is not for your head. It's for your heart. This book is not operating in the arena of facts as much as it operates in the arena of truth. It's all factual. It's the only thing in this world that's got all the facts right. But He didn't come to give you facts. He came to give you faith. He came to give you truth. And this truth ain't for your head to understand. It's for your heart to believe. And if you'll believe it, then you'll swallow it and you'll have it. And guess what? You'll start to understand it. Amen. And I want to jump in here and splash around. Hebrews. Don't let somebody tell you that's for the book of Hebrews was written very simply just to explain to the first century Jews how good it is that they can be saved now by the grace of God. That's all it was. The first century Jews were having a hard time shifting gears. God's the one that gave them the law. They was having a hard time turning loose of it. They had done turned the law, 613 laws of Moses, into over 6,000 laws of the Pharisees. And I know some Pharisees, and they're 1 to 10. They got God beat on coming up with stuff. Jesus told them boys, they said, them boys, they're picking corn on the Sabbath and eating it. And not even washing their hands. Jesus said, man wasn't made to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to serve man. When you're more religious than Jesus, you just might be too religious. When you're more spiritual than Jesus, I ain't sure you're spiritual. You're religious. And with that said, somebody's going to jump out there and go, that's right, we hate religion, and run out there and leave the church and the Bible and join a contemporary outfit. That ain't what I'm talking about. I ain't leaving that Bible. I ain't going to leave the body. I'm not going to leave the blood. I'm not going to leave the blessed hope. If I could think of any more bees, I wouldn't leave them either. Hebrews was written to show them first century Jews, hey, y'all need to get on over here in the gospel of the grace of God and enjoy it. That's all he is to do. He's explaining to them how grace works. Gave them some warnings and talked to them, and that's all he is to do. And them boys were having a hard time because they, and a lot, just like a lot, let me say this, see if you can relate it to anybody. They grew up in their religion. Is having a hard time getting a hold of grace. Well, that just might be applicable to some Baptist. Can I get a witness right there? In the South. Grew up in our religion having a hard time getting a hold of grace. And I know some of these boys are more religious than Jesus. You're upset about things he's not upset about. That right there is when I start losing meetings. But 31 and a half years ago, I didn't get in this thing checking the wind and the political breeze. Amen. I got thrown in the deep part of the Holy Ghost, hot oil, and red blood of the Lord Jesus. And I ain't never checked with anybody on much since. Woo! Them boys was having a hard time shifting gears. In the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd. But in that New Testament, the shepherd died for the sheep. They was having a hard time shifting that gear. It was almost too good for them to believe. In the Old Testament, the Lord had a temple for the people. But in the New Testament, God had a people for His temple. And they were just having a hard time. They were having a hard time turning loose of their heroes. And the writer of Hebrews, probably Paul, really don't give a rip who. Why you want to fuss about things that don't matter? Right. Believe what's in Hebrews. Who cares who wrote Hebrews? And he shot down Aaron. And he shot down Moses. And he shot down David. And he shot down Abraham. Don't we make heroes out of men? Y'all ain't helping me right there. Woo! I've got some mentors and some forerunners. Joe Parsons, I never got to meet him. He come by our home church and left his mark there before I was in this world. And I sat at his feet for 10 years by way of a push play button on the cassette. And Percy Ray and some of those men. I got news for you. They were just men. They were just men. You're going to get in error if you begin to make this thing mystical and impossible. We make it a mess. Because Jesus said, you come with a childlike faith and just accept it. And there ain't no need of you trying to make it hard. My yoke is easy. Whoever made this thing hard? You got too much religious notions if you're making it hard. The Jews could not get it. And honey, listen, when I got through with my schooling years, and I want to say right there that I sure am glad the Holy Ghost got a hold of me before any Bible college ever did. The only thing I learned down there is they was not near as smart as them country preachers who couldn't know how to read or write. That's the only thing I learned. I learned what not to pay attention to. Amen. And stayed with them over all cornbread. Amen. Dig a well, plant a garden, shout it out. Holy Ghost, granny shouting, pew climbing, hallelujah, rock altar, hot air, red blood. Amen. Old men got a hold of me before that educated bunch did. And that educated bunch couldn't get a hold of me. I had too much oil on me. They kept slipping off. Woo! I may sign my own Bible right there just so I just remember that it was good one night. Amen. Thank the Lord. Woo! They had a reality, a relationship. And so the writer of Hebrews, he shot down all their heroes. And he said, and the writer of Hebrews said he's better than, you thought Aaron was a high priest, you ought to meet this great high priest. You thought Abraham was the father of the faith, you ought to meet the real father of the faith. You thought David was a great king, there's a king coming you ain't going to believe. Amen. Levi was a servant at the temple. You ain't seen nothing till you seen him. Amen. Y'all thought Melchizedek was somebody. Hallelujah to God. There's a greater than Melchizedek here. And he shot down all the heroes. It means you ain't going to get nowhere until we get past men. And I thank God for the men that blazed the trail, forerunners. I give honor to whom honor's due. Amen. I fight you over some men. Yes, I will. But they're just men. The best of men are just men at best. You know the dangerous thing that we do, and young preachers pay attention right here, is we plug in to great men and never know what made them great. It wasn't their greatness that made them great. It was their God that made them great. You know what young preachers do? We find great men of God and plug into their weaknesses and not their strengths. And we pick up the idiosyncrasies and the quirks and the things that we don't need to. There ain't but 1 out of 100 young preachers going to plug into an old man of God and head right for that suffering. Everybody wants that mantle, but they don't want that cross. They want his mantle. They just don't want to get buried under it. They want to flaunt it and tout it. The writer of Hebrews shot down their heroes. Woo! I'm filling me a whole barrel full of happy bubble juice tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Appreciate being able to come in here and pray. You don't know how I starve across the country. Look here, can I be honest, transparent? Y'all don't tell other people this. They won't ask me to come. It's just between me and Yinzes. Lived in Tennessee for a while. Yinzes. I often go into church, the evangelist, every night revival. And just dry and carnal and hurting. Tried, you know, walk with the Lord that day. But as empty as they are. And they don't even ever give you a chance to pray. Get 1, 2, 3 and hurry up here and shake the hands. Sit down, take up the offering. That some empty sister sing an empty song. All right, we're done with that. Now, come on. Lord, I'm dying for just 4 minutes on an altar. Not by myself, but with the church. Just let somebody, just holler for help for just a minute. If you can holler for help for just a minute, it'll change everything. Almost ran right by your head of hair, just right there. Amen. Amen. Almost ran right by. You need to share with all three of them fellas right there. They ain't got, need it bad. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we can come in here and have liberty to worship. Now, there's 5 things I see in Hebrews 10. And y'all figured out by now I ain't got no structure. One night in a good meeting, everybody's laying everything on the altar. They laying their cigarettes and their TVs and their tight breeches. And I went up there and laid down all my sub points. I gave up all my sub points. I got that. That thing been bothering me. Dragging me down. I laid 7 sub points right down next to 3 cans of Skol. Amen. When they wasn't looking, I got 1 can and took it back with me right there. Amen. I'm trying to figure out if tobacco is really a sin. I shouldn't even talk like this because I'm cutting up and he'll have to fix this for a month. But sorry about that, Pastor. Because it hurts your health. I know that. I mean, but so does chocolate and Diet Coke. And, you know, I ain't giving up either one of them. And I sure ain't going to preach on them. And then tobacco, it only hurts your testimony in several select states. And some churches I go to, if you ain't chewing or smoking something, that you can't even fellowship with them. So I'm just confused. I'm sorry. You help me later, Brother Buchanan, with that. So, amen. Maybe I shouldn't have said that until all the visitors were gone. Sorry about that, man. Amen. There's 5 things in Hebrews 10 that the law could not do. And I'm wondering if grace could. Well, if you're going to sit there like a bunch of New England Dutch congregationalists of the 1825 division, I'm going to try that again. Smell that spirit on some of them. Let's try that again. There's 5 things the law could not do, and I'm wondering if grace could. Can grace? There they are. I better give them to you quickly because I will chase a big old fat rabbit. The first fat rabbit comes by, I'm going after it. And probably ain't going to see me again on the main trail. But 5 things. Number 1 is in, I'm reading chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. By the way, you ought to pop a happy bubble right there because we're living in the good stuff that got here. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. See, number 1, the law couldn't make you perfect. I wonder if grace could. And if he's wondering about the answer, it's in verse 14. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Them that's been saved, set apart and made holy. Amen. The law couldn't make you perfect. I wonder if grace could. Number 2 is in verse 2. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once... Isn't that interesting? In one verse, we're comers. In the next verse, we're worshipers.
Amen. That's good.
Oh, yeah. You can be a comer in the first verse, but you'll be a worshiper in the second verse.
Amen.
I'm going to stop and say this, and I may say it for an hour, or I may say it for a minute. That's how you get in, is by coming. I wish I had somebody. Paul said in Corinthians 10 or 11, first or second, read them both, you'll find it. He said, to not be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's something wrong, and me and you talked about this back in Mississippi for an hour one night with fellowship. Anything you overemphasize, you're going to make a mess of. Any doctrine you overemphasize, you're going to make a mess of. And I think as a knee-jerk reaction to all the easy believism that's run through American pulpits for the last 60 years, the contemporaries are doing it now, everybody, you know, singing Barney the Dinosaur. You love me. And everybody coming and telling everybody they're saved. And we old-timey preachers are trying to keep the doctrine right, and we're preaching on conviction. But you got to be careful because We end up in our circles getting people try to trust conviction instead of trusting Christ. They ain't a sinner alive going to understand conviction. They ain't a baby in the womb going to explain the birth process to anybody. He don't even know. And when that baby drops and God's natural ways kick in, that baby's drawn out and pulled out and burst. That baby don't stick his head out and tell the doc, "Hey, you know, this thing ain't going really good, and here's what you need to do." And I wish I had somebody. There's something wrong in our churches when we got people supposed to be sinners, and they're explaining the ways of the Spirit of God to other people, waiting on their time. The moment you know you're lost, you're commanded to repent. I wish I had somebody. You get saved by coming. Faith and repentance. The drawing power. All those things are at work. You couldn't come, you wouldn't come if they wasn't at work. But the one coming ain't got to be able to write a doctrinal thesis on faith, repentance, drawing, and conviction. There's something wrong with the he's commanded us to come. They'll figure out later how good it all was. Now some people can say, "He came to me, and I accepted him." If that worked for them, there was coming involved. And then some people will say, "I came to him, and he accepted me." And that'll work. That's how I got in. There's coming involved. Some of you, he came to you. You're trying to go to hell. He come a hold of you and grabbed you by the scruff of the neck. And you so happy about being so saved, you told 114 people how they could be saved and they came. Whichever side of that you fall on, don't try to tell the other person how it didn't work for them. Both of them's right. You'll find both of them playing out in the Scripture. Some men seeking for Jesus, and some men Jesus was seeking for. But they all got it on faith and repentance. With gospel coming involved. Faith and repentance. You wouldn't have come to Christ if you didn't have the faith to believe you're supposed to. Repentance, there had to be a measure of repent for you to humble yourself and your heart to be in a contrite condition enough to want to need to know you got to come to Him. Faith and repentance. You come. Come to Him. Now where's the drawing power? Well, if Jesus came to where you was, that drawing power. Oh, yeah. Or if somebody said he's right over there and he's a-wanting you, and you came to it, the drawing power of the Holy Ghost was there. Right. It's as goofy as a football bat for a sinner to be trying to explain drawing power.
Amen.
There's some heavy, heavy fatalist churches. Where I pastored in that Florida, North Florida, and I knocked on doors. I was out there, a man of God, preacher, talking to the community, and a man stood on the front board and said, "I can't get saved. It ain't my time." How do you know? There's a gospel preacher sitting in your face telling you to repent. Sounds like it's your time. There ain't a baby in the womb that says, "Ah, it ain't my time." When it's time, the baby nor the mama's got no say-so about it.
Well, that's right.
Come. It's how the Bible ends, Revelation 22. Three times in one verse, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Amen.
And whosoever will. That's five times in the New Testament. Why did it get quiet right there? Whosoever will. Let him come. Take the water of life freely. Come. Now quit trying to explain to sinners 11 different angles on this coming business. They're supposed to hear come and they're supposed to come. The comers. Well, why is somebody coming? Well, they're coming because the Lord's been a-calling. Now, there's something really out of whack if they could explain to you the calling while they're coming.
Right.
That's exactly right. Comers. You go from being a comer to being a worshiper in one verse. Because if you've ever come to Him, you're worshiping in the next verse.
That's right.
I wish I had somebody. Let's talk about conviction for a moment. Lord's had Hebrews 10 on my heart ever since I got here.
Bless him, Lord.
Tried to hit it once already, didn't we?
Amen.
I preach a message. Not going to preach it tonight. Going to mention it. Called Open Heavens or Open Hearts. Either way, it'll work. In Acts chapter 9, the heavens opened. Saul was on his donkey on the road to Damascus trying to kill the church. The heavens opened. Jesus knocked him off his donkey. He heard a voice. Other people heard thunder.
Right?
Lord! I mean, what a Damascus road conversion. He tried to kill Jesus. He said, I think I'll just save the pudding out of that one right there.
Right.
And I love, remind me to come back to wherever I was going in just a minute. I love the progression of Paul's testimony. He testified.
Right.
Told his story three times in Acts. I think in Acts 9, Acts 26 and 28 or 24 and 20. Read the book of Acts. You'll find three times he gave his testimony. And the first time, Brother Buchanan, he said there was a light shone from heaven.
That's right.
Second time, he said, there's a bright light. Third testimony, he said, there was a light shining above the brightness of the firmament of the heavens.
It's bigger and bigger.
Alright, now, he testified three times. Where's all my pastors at? Got some pastors in here. Some pastors. Testified three times. First time, he grouped himself with the apostles. Now, he's humble, but he's running with an elite group. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, I am the least of the apostles.
Right.
Testified again in Ephesians 3. I believe it is, Brother Seth. Ephesians 3. He said, and he brought himself down, and he left the apostles and came down to the saints.
Right.
He said unto me, and he wasn't the least. He threw another L in there, less than the least of all the saints.
Oh, Lord.
And then he got over there into Timothy. His old man passed his mantle down, getting to the end. He just went ahead and left the apostles and the saints and got down there with sinners. And it wasn't less or least. He said, I'm the biggest one there is. Right. The chief. I almost ran right there. You almost didn't see me no more right here. I almost ran. The longer he walked with God, he got lower and Jesus got brighter. He got smaller and the Lord got bigger. He said, I'm an apostle. He said, I'm the least in, but I'm an apostle. By the way, remind me to go back to wherever I was going. He was the 14th apostle.
Right. That's right.
About to run.
Yeah.
If you want to do anything special for me, do it right now because I'm fixing to leave. Fixing to run. 14 is a number of a transition of a generation or the transition of a dispensation. All right, there's 12 disciples. Maybe a new Christian here don't know why we're talking about 14. There's 12 apostles. And Judas went out and hung himself, went to his own place. And then in Acts 1, they drew lots and picked, there's Matthias. Was that right, Pastor?
Yes.
And the other fellow, and he was the 13th. Paul's actually the 14th. You read Matthew 1, and every time he shifted, though, there's three sets of 14 shifting generations. You go look at number 14. And it's always the apostle to the Gentiles. The rest of them seen him physically, but he saw him spiritually. The rest of them saw him on earth. He only saw him in heaven. He saw only the resurrected.
Right.
And they handed off, all them law boys handed off the ball to that one grace preacher. And there was a transition of a dispensation. What year is this? 2013 is the number of the Antichrist. Rebellion, lawlessness, and the Antichrist. All your Antichrist chapters in Revelation 13 and the rest of them, they're all his 666 number of man, 13 is his number.
Right.
It's the year of the Antichrist. What's next year? I am, preachers and Bible students, I am not a date setter. No man knows the day or the hour.
Amen.
Jesus didn't know it then. I think Jesus knows it now, but no man on earth knows the day or the hour still.
Amen.
And I don't either. I just know that there are some numbers in the Bible and they mean something. Right? Where was we before two turns? It's the 14th. What was y'all talking about? Yep. Then we saw his Oh, yeah! Thank you. Acts 9, God saved him by opening the heavens. I'm going to need somebody to help me. God opened the heavens to save that rascal. Brother Joby, and I seen it on your church sign, that really is your name. I drove down there just to make sure. Pulling my leg. That's Joby, right over there. He's sitting with her. You remind me to come back to this. You remind me to come back to Acts 9 and how he opened the heavens. That's your job in the next 5 minutes. If you do a good job, you ain't getting none of my offering, but I'll let you keep coming back to the meeting. You see how nice I am to my new friends? Now, why did he save Paul? We're going to talk about them open heavens in a little bit. But why did he save Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles? The apostle to the Gentiles. Why did he save Paul? No, I just thought, because, you know, he did say, I'm the chief of sinners.
Right.
Was he saying that because he felt like it, or was he saying it because it was so? Had to be so. He's the only man in the history of mankind that was trying to kill God's baby and Jesus' bride. God said, I'm going to need to save somebody and let them preach the gospel of grace. And it's going to need to be somebody who will know it was all grace.
Hallelujah!
And there ain't but one man down there and he was under conviction.
Right.
He was under a good dose of it.
Right.
He got under Calvary's prayer. The first martyr was a deacon.
Right.
Amen. It's scripture to kill deacons. Amen. It's in the Bible. The first time that first woman said in there. It's Bible. I've killed several of them. I got Bible for it. You kill a deacon in the book of Acts. I don't know if that's rightly divided, but it was a sharp sword when I divided it. And he prayed Calvary's prayer. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what. And Stephen prayed, Lord, I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. Woo! He got under Calvary's prayer. He got under Calvary's prayer. And in the very next verse, he's a breathing out threatenings and slaughterings. You ain't seen nobody messed up until they get an old sinner under bad conviction. They breathe out threatenings and slaughterings because God's breathing in. He's a huffing and a puffing and fixing to blow your little house down. And he's blowing stuff in and you're blowing stuff out. He's blowing heaven in and you're blowing hell out. Threatenings and slaughtering. He's under conviction. You know what else I think, Brother Buchanan? Paul was a strange hybrid mixture. He is the most religious man the Lord could find and the most immoral man God could find. All wrapped up in one. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Had papers and documents. He was a religious man. And to get to that seat and that position, they tell me they had to have the Old Testament memorized to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He is the most religious man. And yet at the same time, he had that blood on his hands of the actual bride of Christ.
Yes, sir.
When the bride was just a baby. You could, listen, you could strike me, kick me, cuss me. And I'll be honest with you. If I don't know you, I'm going to think you're goofy, but it ain't going to mess my night up. Because I'm staying right next to a Waffle House. You got to come with more than that to mess my night up. It don't matter. I sleep better knowing somebody did want to kill me. I was raised independent Baptist. It's just the way I sleep better knowing that. But I got a little bride. You mess with her, I'm going to Waffle House and getting three fellas from there. And we're going to come mess your day up. And I've already made friends with them. Thank you. They're my friends, not yours. And the only thing you can do worse than messing with my bride is you mess with one of my little babies. If you're littler than me, you're going to regret it. And if you're bigger than me, I'm going to find something that makes me bigger than you, and you're going to regret that. You mess with my baby. And you know what Paul was doing? The church, it was God's baby and Jesus' bride. And he is a killer. And the Lord said, if I save him, they won't hardly believe it. He won't hardly believe it. And he'll tell everybody from here on out. And if God's grace was enough for me, it would be enough for you. It saved me with what I was. Saved me with what I did. Saved me with where I came from. He'll save you. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern of all long-suffering and mercy to them which shall afterward believe. Yet he was a religious man. And he could go to the religious people and relate with them.
Right.
He could go down to the synagogue and tell them how lost and deceived they were.
Right.
And then he could go around to the prison and say, boys, I had blood on my hands. I know. Woo! 30-second time out to praise God for something a little extra. Somebody needs to write a song. There's a bunch of songs that says, I am so glad God saves old sinners. Somebody needs to write a song that says, I am so glad God saves old Pharisees.
Amen.
Hey! Brother Joby! Brother Joby! Brother Lane! Be a bad thing to be a religious person, have to go to a contemporary church. They said they only want messed up sinners. They don't want you to look like church, smell like church, act like church. They're going to have a church that ain't church. They're going to quit having church, so you'll come to their church. They finally found a way to get America to come to church. Have a church where you don't have church. They don't have to come. They can join your church where they don't go to church, and then they can have their own church, which ain't a church. It's a snake swallowing its own tail. Come to our church. We don't have church. What? Yeah. There's only one thing wrong for a church of people. For people that don't like church, there ain't a God for people who don't like God. And there's not a heaven for people that don't like heaven. And there's not a Jesus for people that don't want to repent. Now, when he saved Paul, the heavens were opened. Thunder. Jesus himself talking. Knocked off his donkey, laid on his back, struck blind 3 days. I'm talking about a testimony out of this world. I love to get around people who have open heavens testimonies. Some old biker gets saved out of a gang, out of prison. I knew an old boy laying in a jail cell in Texas and found an old track that somebody stomped on, stepped on under the mattress. And he said one single drop of blood come all the way from the glory into that jail cell and hit his old wretched soul. And he made a singing evangelist preacher. Take him all day to tell you how wicked he was. My old daddy's got an old testimony like that. Open heavens. My daddy was going down old Highway 41 below Chattanooga. In 1966, he was doing 85 miles an hour in a 1962 Chevy Chevelle. I think that's the way to say it. What was it?
Chevelle 64.
Thank you. That's what it was. It was a 62 something.
Impala.
Try again. 62 Chevy. I'll tell you tomorrow what it was. I'll call him and ask him. He was doing 85 in 66 in a 62 on 41.
Amen.
His old daddy was a drunk. My grandfather, he lived that way. He died that way. He is wretched. My daddy won't talk about it to this day. The only stories that we get, we have to get it from other relatives. My daddy's countenance still twists up. You can't mention his daddy. One of the last memories he had of his daddy was a beating my grandmother. Little old saved, little old Holy Ghost woman. She'd walk barefoot, them dirt roads, pick cotton. Sleep in the woods with her four kids over the weekend because them old drunks up in them woods and moonshiners. It was too bad the things they did. Beating them and worse. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all, the good old days wasn't that good to everybody.
Right.
Norman Rockwell painted one picture. Not everybody was having revival.
Right.
In the 40s and 50s. My old grandpa would lay up there in the motel. They had to carve chunks out of his throat at times. He'd drink anything, everything. When he run out, he'd drink cologne. He'd drink hairspray. He'd drink turpentine. He'd be laid up there in one of them motels on Rossville Boulevard in the bad part of town, Chattanooga. Maggots in his beard where he done throwed up on himself and passed out there for 2 days. One of the last memories my daddy had. He's about to kill his mama, beating her, and daddy. Daddy was big, strong. Like Brother Buchanan's, just a large, big, strong man. About twice my size. Daddy was bigger than his daddy at the age of 16. Even he beat his daddy off, and he's out in the highway. They knocked him unconscious and left him laying in the road, hoping somebody would run over him and kill him. That's the kind of hatred and hell out of them moonshining woods where one branch of our family came from. And my daddy nearly died twice in the army. Both sides of the jaw broke at one time with lead pipes outside a bar. He come back to Tunnel Hill, Georgia, was becoming the same blaspheming drunk that his daddy was. But he had a little mama who knew how to pray. He had an old mountain granny. She went down behind the barn and prayed 5 sons through 2 world wars. They said she come out behind the barn with her white bonnet and shouted, said her and God entered into a covenant and gonna bring all of the boys home. We just buried Uncle Edgar, great uncle, nearly 90, shrapnel in his heart. They said we can't operate it, blown him up on his heart, in his heart, sticking out of his heart, blown him to pieces, and he stood up and walked away. They said, we can't even pull it out, it'll kill you. How are you alive? Granny got a hold of God behind the bar, and honey, hell couldn't kill him. Do they ever bang the offer plates together and cymbals? Praise God. I got a feeling y'all ain't scared to try anything. I used to do that at my church. I beat the offering plates for 2 years and they fell apart. He had an old mama praying for him. The granny, they wasn't going to let him go to hell. By the way, Daddy's got 6 kids now. I'm one of them 4 preaching boys and 2 daughters in the full-time ministry. 6 of us. Daddy's a doing 85 on 41 in 66 in a 62 Chevy Impala. I believe that's what he says. Oh, no. I done seen all the bow ties in this parking lot. You Ford or Dodge man, you going down to the liberal church somewhere. Let's let you get on. He said God kept bothering him. Over there on a ship, coming back on a big ship, and he stepped out one morning, the sun rising. There's no black boy standing there. The little Gideon New Testament in one hand, the other one in the heavens. Said the boy's at church all by himself. Then he said he just stopped. And said every message and every Sunday school lesson and all them old saints and everybody that run through his heart all at one time. He said he just seen that old black soldier boy. I did run and come back and y'all didn't even see it. He said he seen that old boy. And all of heaven run through him like to kill him. Double over stood there. That old boy had no idea. He's having church on the deck over there all by himself with the sun rising. I bet he'd know he was a soul winner. And That is trying to paint the town red, breathing out threatenings and slaughters. And I'm just going to tell you how, and he won't ever tell this. He's afraid it confused people into thinking they have to have a sensational experience.
Right.
But here's what I tell it. God will clear your confusion up, I tell you. He's going down the road, doing 85. Been a big storm. He said the Holy Ghost stepped in the front of that car and sat down with him. See, when it happens, you don't understand it. You just tell it. And said, pulled him. And said he just slid off the side of the road and sat there shaking. Didn't know he could get saved. Didn't know what saved was. And in his little mind, he thought all the drunkard's kids from the other side of the tracks that grew up without shoes went to hell because they were the bad people. And that people on the other side of the tracks that had a house and had their daddy and had a pair of shoes, they went to heaven because they were the good people. The only thing he did, he says, ask God not to kill him. Thought he'd come to kill him. He said, don't kill me. That's all he knows. He said, the only thing I can think of to ask, to promise God, if you let me live this Sunday, I go to church with Mama. There'd been in a 4-year move of God revival in that old mountain church, and he come and sat right back there on that corner. And the old man of God is in 6'6". By the way, this is 2013. That man of God's still the pastor there tonight. And that man of God's standing there in 1982 when he flagged me in. Old Brother Roy Gentry, old mountain Holy Ghost preacher, gave the altar call. It went like this. Junior! True story. That's a quote. You didn't learn that in no seminary. He said, I want all the little kids to come down, sing for the soldier boy. That's back when America loved the flag, honored soldiers. Men were men, ladies were ladies, that sort of strange thing. He said, I want all you kids to sing Virginia. And Dad hated that name because of his dad. Sang Virginia McNeese. And all the little kids, you know what they sang? I'm glad there wasn't no contemporary church back then. Shout to the Lord, give Barney a hug. I don't know all that goofy mess. You come around with me with that stuff, I'm finding a 2x4. I'm finding a 4x4. I'm finding a 4x4. I'm dropping a car on your head. Come around me with that flake nut stuff. Your cat got more discernment than you do if you think contemporary is tolerable.
Amen.
Cats are evil. Dogs are good. Cats are evil. God made cats so a dog can have something to chase and bite. It's the only reason there's a cat. And your cat has more discernment than you if you think... You know what they sang? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells... Dad said you'd run a hot spear through him. Like the dad. Still didn't know you'd get saved. Didn't know there was saved. The old man of God told him. Here is the altar call. Virginia! Get down here, boy! Let God save you! That was the altar call. We need some more altar calls like that, don't we? Daddy tried, but he couldn't. He took one step, and he collapsed under the weight of conviction. Said an old deacon and his best friend who'd got right with God while he was in the army. And when he came back, his best friend was going to church and tithing. and tithing messed that up. Said, you're giving your money to... And his friend was big about tithing. And it tore Daddy to pieces. He was tithing. Said, old deacon and his best friend come back. And in these modern days, they'd have drug him outside and called an ambulance. But they got under one under each armpit and drug him down with his shoes a-dragging, just like that. And throwed him in a heap on the altar. They don't know how long he thrashed about. God was throwing slinging devils everywhere, washing sins out and throwing blood everywhere. Saved the ever-loving pudding out of him. Write that in your Bible. I'll sign it. Saved him. Daddy said all they know when he got up and turned around and looked. All them people he had hated. He loved. And somehow knew all them good people. He said all of a sudden he knew he was one of them. Open heavens! I didn't tell you the sensational part. True story. Sitting there shaking in that car. Lightning flashed. Lit the sky up for 2 seconds. There was a bridge. Earlier flood had washed it out. If it had hit that, there wouldn't be 6 McNeese kids. I wouldn't be. One of my verses is Hebrews 7:25. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Abraham met Melchizedek. Levi wasn't there, but there's a transaction took place, and it involved him as much as it did Abraham. He was yet in the Lord. Now, Paul got saved and the heavens opened. In Acts 16, Lydia got saved and her heart opened. The apostles went by on the grassy bank at a place where prayer was wont to be made. And Lydia, seller of purple, worshiped God. She wasn't saved. Sat down on the riverbank. The boy spoke for a minute, moved on. And I'm quoting the Bible, Acts 16, verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened. There wasn't any thunder. Nobody got knocked off a donkey. I think she was reclining in the grass, very ladylike, with the other ladies. Preacher stood there and had a little talk for a moment. The name of Jesus told her about it. Without her moving, preacher moved on. She may have switched elbows. Jesus wasn't in her on this elbow. He moved on. He was in her when she went to that elbow. Nobody screamed. Nobody thrashed on the altar 45 minutes. There wasn't a bridge washed out. Nobody knew nothing happened except Lydia. Came in my heart.
Amen.
Did y'all like my daddy's testimony? I like it. I tell it. Y'all want to hear my testimony? Y'all want to hear my testimony? Don't sneeze. Don't go to the restroom. Don't ask your wife for a cough drop. This morning, I ain't going to take one. God saved my daddy. And I was sitting on the front row one night in church. And the Holy Ghost, I said, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. You just got my testimony. That's it. That's it. I'm sorry, I mean, it's not as long as my daddy's. Ain't nobody beating, killing nobody in it. Nobody drunk. No bridge washed out. I tried to even tell them. Nobody paid attention. I went out in the parking lot and was like throwing rocks with the kids in the ditch 5 minutes later. It does not matter if He opened the heavens to save you or if He opened your heart to save you. It don't matter if you got knocked off your donkey or is reclining on a grassy bank. It don't matter if Jesus didn't lean in from heaven and call you ugly names like He did. You're thinking, yo-yo, what are you doing? That's how Paul got saved. That's in the originals. Do you know how many preachers' kids stay confused about their salvation because they didn't get saved like the old messed up sinners coming out of the bar, coming out of the hospital, coming out of a gang? You don't have tattoos. They don't have a bunch of divorces. They didn't have maggots in their beard. They didn't even have a beard. And they think that because it didn't happen to them like it happened to a Paul, let me tell you something about conviction. Don't think you're so smart you got it all figured out. The Holy Ghost, He can send a hurricane and blow your house down. He's the wind. Or He can send a little breeze and the little sapling will go, ooh. And it'll bow to the Creator. I used to pray down there in North Florida with my deacons and my old men. We'd go out there and pray. An old South Georgia deacon grabbed me. We was laying in the pines praying, Brother Lane. Old Joe Disney. I was 21, 22. Them old deacons had some Holy Ghost on. He said, look, preacher. Looked up at the pines. You see that? I didn't see anything. And I said, oh, yeah, I see it, brother. Oh, yeah. What are we looking at? He said, see that one pine moving? I said, yeah. He said, why ain't the other one moving? I don't know. He said, that's how it works. See, I came to Him that night because He came to me that night. The man was a priest. Holy Ghost fingered in that little heart the first time ever. And I just said, The gospel's not a hoax. The Savior's not a liar. He said, come. And if you ever have come, it's because He came after you, helped you come. But the sinner don't need to understand that part.
Amen.
Can't understand that part. Ain't supposed to understand that part. Quit trying to explain to the sinner how coming works. Explain to him he better come.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Obey.
And then you get over there in a good meeting one night and everybody start telling how He brought you when you came.
Right.
And it won't matter if you say I accepted Him or He accepted me. They're both true.
Right.
Joe Parsons said this. You hold on to that first profession. I'm not talking about a false profession.
Right.
I'm not talking about you just chewing gum and all your friends praying, you down there giggling. No. First time you came to Him. Some of y'all need to quit looking for experiences.
Right.
He opened your heart and He moved in. Quit trying to make the heavens open. Jesus is already here. You got something better than an experience. You got Jesus. You got something better than salvation. You got the Savior.
Right.
I wish I had somebody.
Come on.
Here's what happens to church kids. You tell me if I'm all right, Pastor. Here's what happens to church kids. They come. My sister did this. Came when she was 7. Came when she was 10. Got in trouble. Came when she was 13. All messed up. Came when she was 15. She had 7 or 8 times she came. Then she don't know when she got saved. So then the devil tells you you don't know if you got saved. And then somebody come along and tell you that the heaven's got to open and the bridge has got to wash out.
Right.
Or you ain't got it. And then you become all, a first cousin to a charismatic and you're looking for it.
Amen.
And not for him. I've been honest in all these 31 years for me. He's let some lightning flash and we've had some talks and there's been some bridges washed out. But ain't none of that what saved me.
Right.
I came to him. Because he came to me. Church kids can't figure out when. And so then it moves from I don't know when I got saved to then I don't know if I got saved. And you need to hush about all that. And let me ask you a question. Do you trust Jesus? Y'all ain't helping me. I got in trouble in the month of May with my wife. I got in trouble with her. I've been up here over an hour. Are y'all all right? I need to hush. Y'all okay? I'm about to hush. I get in trouble every May. Because I have mathematical dyslexia. And I can't remember our anniversary. May the 4th or May the 6th. And right now I don't know which one it is. I met her in 94 and married her in 96. There's too many 4s and 6s. My girl's born on the 6th. I was born on the 5th. All of our dates is 4s and 6s and 5s. I look, baby, I remember marrying you. What are you upset about? Now, she loves it when I forget the dates. Because then I have to take her on a date to make up for it. And we can't go to Walmart. That was the first 10 years of marriage. Now we gotta go to the mall. And ain't a $19 purse gonna make her happy. Coach. Some ignoramus in Paris is shipping it over here and my wife thinks he's got to have it. I preach against it all the time when she ain't in the building. And when she's there, I just go get her a coach. And I buy her a coach and we sit on the front seat and get all snuggly. And she loves that date. And then all of a sudden, the dates don't matter, but the date. I may not get the dates right, but I've got the date. She's my date. Y'all ain't helping me. You preachers' kids look at me, and you deacons' kids, and you kids that grew up in this. It's hard to remember meeting Jesus when he's been there the whole time.
Right.
Now, I have the preachers I know say, well, you ain't spiritual and we ain't, well, you know, it's true. I'm really not, so we're good right there. And somebody big as God, move in or jabber, I've heard all that. Try telling that to the preacher's kid or the deacon's kid that's lived with Jesus on an altar and tried to come to him their whole life. Not knowing the first time they came, he took them. They just don't believe it yet.
Right.
Who gives a rip? Did you ever come to him? Are you married to him? Is he yours? Are you his? He's got an arm around you and holding you close. You're like, Lord, what year was it? Well, I'm right here. He gives a rip. Are you trusting me today?
Yes, sir.
I wish everybody could have open heavens. My wife does. Can I contrast my wife and my sister? My sister's raised in this like I was. Didn't get peace in her heart till she's 21. And she didn't get in no emotional service. You won't never get it there. It'll be out there all alone somewhere. He'll finally whisper to your troubled soul, "I've been here the whole time. I'm yours. You're mine. When you gonna believe that?" And then you believe it when he says, "When you gonna believe it?" "I believe it." See, church kids, we struggle. We don't get to have the emotions and the experiences quite like somebody coming from hell. My wife, raised in a heathen home under the shadow of the Florida State Pen. Her mom couldn't quit the pills and the drugs and the drinking, though she raised them kids, kept the home together, but secretly because of what happened. What men did to her as a child and what her husband did to her now and what he... First words I heard out of his mouth. See, God brought her and saved her in my little church. I single, still in school. I know I'm over an hour. I hope so. Please come back. Don't not come back just because I'm long. I sitting in that pulpit... And I never did pray for a wife. Never. Never prayed about a wife. Never prayed for a wife. Because I had a promise. Promise. You remember that first part of the service? He said to me, "Boaz, I'll send Ruth to the corner of your field." I never prayed. I never asked a girl. Never looked at a girl. Black dress, white polka dots. Sat down back there in the Holy Ghost. I said, "Ooh." He said, I said, "Ooh." I said, "Ooh." He said, "Uh-huh." I said, "Whoa." He said, "Uh-huh." I said, "Ha-ha." She came out of a messed up part of hell. Her daddy worked death row with all them demons. He had as many demons as them boys on death row. Got to Courtner and took her home. She took me to meet the parents. "Hey, Brother Aaron, Brother Lane." She banged on that screen door and her daddy hollered out, "And there's kids in here." So he said two words. He took the Lord's name in vain. God's name in vain. That's the first thing I ever heard out of his mouth. She banged on a blank and blank. That's where she comes from. She come to church four Sundays. She worked at Walmart. I went to Walmart every day between them Sundays. It was summertime. I put on my blue sweater. It was summer in Florida, but I looked cool in that thing when I rolled the sleeves up like that. Put on my favorite jeans. They were old and wore out, but they would get up in the morning and walk to me and get on me themselves. My old favorite jeans. Put on a blue sweater in Florida in the summer. And go stand in a line. And as cool as a Baptist preacher full of the Holy Ghost can look. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost and look cool. I was doing my best. And I put on my John Wayne voice when I got up there. "Seen you in church last Sunday, little lady." "You want to see this cowpoke kick some more dust up, you come back next service. I need this tube of toothpaste. I'll settle the bill today with you." I was wooing her. She Thought I was crazy. She come four Sundays. I skipped the story. On the fifth Sunday, she called in work and came back that night. She sat midway down that night by Janet Norman. Don't you love the church? Janet Norman, one of the old church mothers. And an old preacher was passing by that way that night. He's in bad health, Mel Davison. He's gone to glory now. And his daughter was singing. And she started singing. We said, "Sister Nancy, come up and sing a while." And she started singing. I want us to be together in heaven. That's what she sang. And Jennifer said, went to bobbing. Holy Ghost had her on the hook. That bobber was down. Her head went to bobbing. She said, I'm like, she went to squalling. Janet Norman leaned over and said something. They both stood up. Here they come. See you at the altar. She got so saved. She shouted 20 solid minutes. Never been in church. Never even seen or heard it. God put the fire in her that it had in me. This is a true story. I shouted 2 hours that night. Because we would do that. We'd go crazy. That night when I got done shouting, I knocked the heel off my Tony Lama cowboy boot. I was walking like this. At one point in time, my belt had caught on the corner of the pulpit while I was running by. I had 10 preacher boys 2 blocks from the church running. That's true. We used to just, our building was small. We took it outside. Take it outside, baby. And we'd run out there. And my belt, and it ripped like the buckle. And 2 loops of whoop. And it was just doing like that. And my boot was like that. True story. My suit coat had a thing was ripped all the way to the top. That's true. And I had a ring on that my daddy had gave me with a black stone in it, and I cracked it completely in half. Hit something, and it just completely in half. God severed my tie. My father and mother that night. And she wouldn't quit shouting. I ended up tearing up everything inside. That's a true story. It happened just like I call witnesses in on that if you don't believe it. That's how my wife got saved. And she'll never forget it. She never doubted it. It was light and darkness. One day the star was not over the barn of Bethlehem. One day it was. It was all hell until one day it was all heaven. People that get open to heavens, they never wrestle with the day. They never wrestle with the doubt. And they scratch their head on why we can't figure out if we're saved or not. Some of us were born in the barn with Jesus. My first Sunday in the world, I was laid on the front pew. I could quote the Bible and sing the songs and not saved. It's hard to see the tree when you're born in the forest. And a lot of well-meaning, well-intentioned preachers have made conviction so sensational that all church kids do not have the advantage of, listen to this, of getting the opportunity of coming from prison. Or from a bar. Or from a crack house. We have to live with stuff like peace. Singing. Jesus. But see, we're in all that stuff. But it ain't in us. Until He puts it in us. But sometimes, there's more around us than is in us. And we think it ain't in us. Because we can't get in it. Like other people are getting in it. The kids know what I'm talking about. And the old devil starts whispering, "You ain't got it." Let me tell you something. If you ever came to Him, faith and repentance and sincerity, And he's there saying, oh no, but I don't think I came like that, but I want to. You just did. I didn't come right. You sound like you got it right now. They bring them to me all the time for counseling. People who overemphasize conviction confuse all the children and all the converts. Me and Brother Buchanan talked about this. We fellowshiped around this for 2 hours up there the other day. In our old-fashioned Holy Ghost circles, we better just preach the gospel, believe the gospel. Quit looking for the Spirit and look for the Savior.
Right.
Holy Spirit don't want to be discussed, don't want to be seen.
Right.
When they walk in the door and talking about the gifts of the Spirit, earmark them, charismatic.
Right.
They walk in the door talking about the gift of the Savior, earmark them, New Testament.
Right.
Bible.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's trying, he ain't going to talk about the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk about the Holy Savior.
Amen.
Right. I love the Holy Ghost. You better have a preacher that understands and knows the Holy Ghost. There ain't 10 of them preachers left in America. But you're charismatic when you think it's about the Holy. It ain't about receiving the Holy Spirit. It's receiving the Holy Savior.
Amen.
He gives you the Spirit, and the Spirit gives you Jesus. And together they give you a whole bunch of stuff from here on out.
Amen.
See, my sister had to wrestle with that. But my wife, she don't even understand what we're talking about. I'm going to say this and try to hush. I think I'm an hour 20 minutes now. My call to preach at 13, and he baptized me in the Holy Ghost fire. If it wasn't for that, I would have died of my salvation. My call is so powerful and life-changing. I've known I saved because he's called me to preach. That's what I fell on in weakness, see. But the Holy Spirit will take the Holy Scriptures. And he'll give you the peace you need.
Amen.
I've been an hour 20 minutes. I hope you're okay. Amen. We'll keep on with this tomorrow night and the next night. I think that's all we need right now. You ever come to him? Joe Parsons said, "You hold on to that first profession of faith." He said, "Because he's been holding on to you ever since." Do you ever come to him? If you was playing games, laughing, you didn't come.
Right.
You may walk down an altar. You may walk down an aisle, but you didn't come. Southern Baptists put them all in VBS and give them a cookie and tell them they're saved. Independents put them all on a bus, give them a hot dog and tell them they're saved. Charismatic don't save nobody. They just take everybody from Southerns and Independents. They ain't worried about you getting saved. They're worried about you speaking in tongues.
Right.
I hope this helps somebody. Lydia. Quiet conversation. She's sitting there. Preacher's telling her the gospel. Nobody seen it. Nobody heard it. Nobody felt it. The Lord stepped in, turned around. He's in her. She got baptized, her whole household. Revival broke out. I don't care if you got in with open heavens, like my wife, or if it was an open heart, a little preacher's girl, like my sister. The same Jesus has washed you from the same sin. Taking you to the same home. Fireproofed you from the same hell. Gave you the same Holy Spirit. I'm trying to hush. Somebody throw something at me. Make me be quiet. I need all the church youngins that got saved in the way I'm talking about to understand something. Don't be concerned that you don't have a long testimony. Long testimonies have long scars.
Right.
But short testimonies have long lives, saith, where you build a real testimony at the judgment seat of Christ. And I need all the little youngins who is just reclining somewhere. I was daydreaming about a hot dog after church when the Holy Ghost fingered me in the water. And they come here. Okay. And you need to shout from here to glory that the same blood washed you from the same sin, took you from the same hell. And you ain't got to have a beard with maggots in it. And you're young and they got to beat you off, leave you in the highway.
Right.
God ain't got to burn down half the county to get your attention.
Amen.
He can actually walk with you and talk with you. You youngins ought to thank Him. You ought to pray. And some of you need to come to Him. Holy Ghost thumping on your heart tonight. You need to come to Him. Amen. Who's going to make the music for us, Pastor? Come on, son. I'm not going to mess with you except tell you this. Some of you ought to come down here and thank Him. But you were raised in a home where they wasn't hollering GD. They were calling on God, not cussing on God. I'm about to run. I was there in that 66. I was born in 69, but I was there in 66 and in 62 on 41 doing 85. I was there. If he'd have went to hell,
never been born.
I'd have never been born. I was yet in the loins of my father when Abraham met Melchizedek. Some of y'all thank God for that. Quit looking for it. Start enjoying Him. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who saved you. There's some deep things out there to enjoy. You just look for Him. He'll give you the deep things.
Amen.
There's treasures in dark places. The Holy Spirit's going to take you on a wonderful journey. But you quit looking for that journey and you'll be satisfied with Jesus.
Amen.
He'll take you on the journey.
Amen.
He ought to be enough. I'm trying to hush. Would you slap me, brother? I mean, just hit me upside the head. Some of you ought to get down here and thank Him. And at your house, they were calling on God, not cussing on God. No, 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 no. God didn't have to rip the heavens open to save you. He's just already over there by you. He's like, trying to hush. If y'all do something, I'd quit. Play something, sir.